Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Prosers. Welcome to the special evening edition of Prosy's Corner. I am your co-host, Nikki W., and we have your host, Author Mar Prose. But we also have Elam B. King as our special guest tonight. He wrote that fantastic book that we're reading for our book club, Understanding a Man. Good evening, Elam.
Good evening. Good evening. How are you? Good evening. Good evening.
Everybody. Good evening.
Yeah, hang on. I'm just trying to get my phone together for 1 second. Hang on.
Okay, go ahead. So tonight we are discussing, Elam has another commitment tomorrow, so we're discussing our book club book, Understanding a Man, Chapter 4 tonight. So if you have questions, if you're reading along with us, please call in and talk to Elam, talk to us, let's discuss it tonight.
Yes, please do. Call on in.
Elam has had a fantastic response because even people have been tweeting, responding to some of Mar's tweets that she's put out there. And I hope
some of those people
call in tonight. Yeah. So I hope they call in tonight with their questions or what they have to say.
Absolutely.
So tell us about Chapter 4, Elam. What's the title?
Well, the title of that chapter is called Do You See Me? And basically in that chapter, the gentlemen are talking about when you, a lot of times when you begin to get with somebody, I guess we'll say,
yeah.
You know, we want to know whether or not that do you really see us and what we're doing and things of that nature. So the goal of that chapter was just to kind of give the ladies some things to think about when they first get with a gentleman. Okay, so that if I want to give a good highlight, if I just read the first. The first paragraph, it says, oftentimes women feel that men like to be private and not allow women into his thoughts and life. Some men feel if she gets to know him, she can help take him to the next level. The gentleman I interviewed discussed how men really want women to get to know them and not just know things about him, but know who he actually is. So the question was, what can a woman do to get to know you without seeming like she is pushy or trying to be all in your business too soon or at all? And so overall, you know, it's just saying that the men, we want you to get to know us, but a lot of times, you know, you sit down to dinner on the first date, second date or whatever, or, you know, and you're just running down not only your resume, but everything just dealing with you and not knowing that. And this is for, again, the progressively moving forward guy. You know, we want you to get to know us because at the end of the day, we know that the collaboration and us coming together is going to make something great. We are good by ourselves, and I will always say this, but we will never be to the level of greatness without adding your blessing, your being into our lives. So we really want you to get to know us. And so I wanted to kind of put the ladies at ease by saying, okay, at the end of the day, he really wants, you know, to proceed forward and you get to know him, but you just have to be kind of tactical about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I particularly did in this chapter, the men speaking in here are ones that are still kind of like in the dating phase. So we have Mr. Rafiq Shakur that's speaking in here. We have Mr. Delonte Murphy, Trey Barnett. Who else was in this? We forgetting a little bit. Rasan Austin.
Oh.
Charles. Yeah, all those guys are single or unmarried. And this is a chapter, whereas the married guys aren't speaking. It's the guys who are still out there, purpose-driven. I'm actually moving away from the word single and more want to move towards purpose-driven, because being single and being purpose-driven, in my opinion, are two different things. And if we went even a little bit deeper into that, is that, you know, single obviously is just a generic statement, somebody who's not with somebody. But when you're purpose-driven, it's that, you know, currently I am not with somebody. I'm on my plight to do what God put me here to do. So I'm on a purpose. I'm being driven in that direction. But I know that I want to add you to the team, the team of just two, not, you know, multiples, the team of just me and you.
I like what Trey said in the chapter when he said, he started right off and said, I would take it easy. Don't go from 0 to 100 real quick. Nikki and I have several friends who, you know, are single and out there, and it's like within a couple of days, all of a sudden, you know, they've fallen for the person. So I think that is a big thing too, even on both sides. Slow down, patient, and get to know each other.
Yeah, and that's what, and if you notice in that chapter, that's what the guys are saying, like, ease up, you know. I think that one of the best statements that was made in here came from Delonte Murphy. Actually went to Hampton University. You guys might not know, he was the executive producer of Trey Song's first two albums. That was Delonte Murphy. So if you look at Trey's album at the back, you'll see Butter Murphy. That's Delonte Murphy. He went to Hampton, and we used to do the Kappas used to do a lot of collaborations with him. So I know him from way back in the 90s, back before he was this extra great like he is now. But he said it best. He was just like, you know, in the beginning, and I think he drops so many nuggets in that, you know, at the end of the day, when we're first getting to know you, we're trying to figure out, how can we insert you into our world? Okay. And I think that that's important, because if I'm a purpose-driven person, if I am, you know, on the go, shaking and moving, I'm saying to myself, okay, well, how can she be an addition to my team? It's no different than when you're interviewing, right? You're saying to yourself, you know, and I've been in sales forever, so I'm just going to equate it to sales from an analogy perspective. When you hire somebody, you're thinking to yourself, what synergy will they bring? You know, when this person comes onto the team, what will they add? And so if you take that to matters of the heart, that's basically what the person is thinking to themselves. You know, as I bring this person into my life, how can they be an intricate part of my team? Now, you could be pretty. You could be full of greatness and out there and shaking and moving and doing your thing. But how can your thing and my thing become a thing that we can walk down a path together and not clash, not, you know, have, you know, emasculation, not have, you know, that we can become a cohesive unit together, because oil and water don't mix. Oil is a great substance by itself. Water is a great substance by itself. But you put those two together, they don't work, right? So the goal is to figure out how can your two substances come together and work. That was a great analogy. Gosh, I don't know where that came from. You don't want to be oil and water. I mean, but if you think about it, right? I mean, water by itself is a, I mean, come on, it's a natural thing. We could just say women are water, right? I mean, you represent life. You know, we cannot function without it, right? Water can, you know, provide life. It can also provide turmoil, watch this, in a house, whereas if it drips incorrectly, here comes mold, right? Here comes a whole bunch of repairs, right? Ask anybody who's had a flood, they'll tell you, right? Water is a beast. You know, water dripping on a rock can wear through, right? So,
right.
And then you have oil, which could be the man, right? Gosh, this is so good. I need to write this down. You have oil.
Yeah,
is
you
so,
do.
Which, no, I'm just messing with you. But you have, you know, a car cannot function. You know, all of us have vehicles, right? Oil is almost attached to so many different products that we use. I don't care if it's freaking Vaseline that we all grew up and had on our faces when it was cold outside, right? So it kept off, you know, fends off stuff and things of that nature. But also, you know, if it's not present correctly in a vehicle, the engine is done. It cannot run, right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, when you put those two together, they will not work. So the goal is, when you're first starting to date, is that how can your substance, how can your solution, because you're out there shaking and moving and providing a solution to people in life, ladies, right? And you're blessing people and shaking
right.
and moving and doing your thing. He's over here with his solution, providing things for life, right, that are necessary, that need to function, right? But if you guys don't come together correctly, it can be a disaster.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very
agree.
True.
I tell Mara, you know, I want someone we can enhance each other, you know. I don't want to hit a brick wall all the time, you know. I know that there's differences in brick walls and all that you will come up against and you'll have arguments and whatnot. But I don't want anybody that we're like oil and water. I want to actually mix and work cohesively with each other.
Yeah, I
yes.
agree. I was telling my daughter that too. I said, you know, they used to say opposites attract, but you know what? It doesn't last. So you really want to find somebody, I feel, that, you know, is more complimentary to you as opposed to, you know, they're the polar opposite of you. I'm sorry. That makes for a lot of frustration.
Yeah, because you have something that you match on. You have to either, you know, both like to watch movies, like to bowl, to do something where you can come together with. You can't have, you know, I like to read and he likes to be out in the club or, you know, vice versa. You have to have some kind of meet in the middle type. If not, then you don't really have much to stand on.
That's true. And build a foundation on it. I like what Charles said, too. I always say this as well. Watch his actions and not his words. I think that's for anybody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you really need to watch a person's actions. They will show you who they are.
Yes.
They really will. You sit back and you watch them.
Mm-hmm. I like to say that women watch the things that men do. Men listen to the things that women say. And and we can stop right there, right? That's why women need to understand the power that they have in their words. Are men's words important? Yes. Are women's words important? Yes. Are men's actions important? Yes. Are women's actions important? Yes. But men are watching what you do. Excuse me, women are watching what you do, because you can especially, let's just take you ladies, right? Okay, so almost I like to compare it to what Chris Rock said, right? That movie Bigger and Blacker that he dropped back in the 90s, he dropped so many nuggets in that movie. If people paid attention, it would enhance their relationship, even though he had a lot of expletives and stuff like that and put comedy behind it. But we all know that comedy is basically real stuff. People just flipped it into something that's funny, right? And so when he was talking about how ever since you were 14, you know, men have been trying to screw you, you know, trying to have sex with you, right? And so and then he was talking about, you know, but when it comes to men, right, you know, we don't always get women aren't always trying to screw us directly. Like, it might be kind of indirect, right? That was just one of the nuggets that he was dropping. So you guys have always been watching the actions of men, because guys have always been saying different things to you. You know, well, I don't care if it's whistling to you in the grocery store or at the gas station, whatever. So somebody's always been trying to holler at you, right? But it's when you get with somebody, right, and you choose somebody to want to, okay, let me start dating you. You start watching his actions because you've been seeing game forever. So you've been hearing stuff all the time, right? So, but you're looking to see, okay, what are you going to do? Yeah, you say you want to get with me and be this and do that. Blah, blah. Okay, what does that look like now? You know, Joe the plumber, right? What does that look like, right? And so because we don't have that much game run at us, right, we're looking at the things that you say. So that's why when you're just like, oh, well, yeah, you know, you're interesting, Elam, and, you know, maybe da-da-da-da-da. Okay, now we're listening, you know, we're listening to the things you say, you know? And so that's why praise, that's why you're, even if the, for those women who might be listening and you're married, right, your husband is another child in the home. Okay? He's a child, right? That praise and all that, it, you know, it's almost comparison. I hate to say this, but the comparison is to like a dog, right? Or a pet that you have. If you praise that animal, like he or it will just, oh my goodness. You know, it will literally be waiting by the door when you come to the door because it wants more of that praise, right? And it goes, you know, they want to go out and break through a wall just to get more of that praise. And so if you understand that power that you have with your words, it'll help you understand that. So just kind of getting back to the chapter or whatever, because I don't want to get off task. But, you know, in this chapter, there's different phases that you go through in the relationship. And so we're kind of talking about just some of the principles. And I know we've talked about this, and I'm going to drive this point home as much as possible. I don't care what chapter that we ever talk about, but you know, in the first phase is understanding, you know, your expectations. So everybody wants to date, right? And we want to go into this companionship thing, right? But do you even know what your expectations are? You know, and are you going to stick to those? What are realistic things that you're really looking for inside of a man? That's really step one. Before we even start looking at him, right? And, you know, how nice his teeth are or something like that, right? Because women are really into men's teeth. I've learned that over the years. Like, why do y'all like that? I don't understand that.
It's very important.
Like, you think about your baby's teeth or something? Like, if you've got nice teeth, huh?
No, I just said you just don't, you know, somebody, can you imagine? I mean, this person is in your face and you start liking each other, and then they come to try to kiss you, and their mouth is all jacked up. Like, no, it's not going to work.
But you know, so they start looking at,
No, go ahead, Elon. Go ahead.
No, they start looking at all these other things or whatever, and so you know, what are your expectations? What are the values? On the radio show that we did today on the Michael and Joy show. We were talking about, we were talking about being evenly yoked, right? And on that call, you know, there was a couple, and she is Christian and he is Muslim. And I told her straight up, like, you might want to pay attention because there's enough issues that go on in your marriage to whereas if you guys end up going down that street, you're starting off unevenly yoked. So, I mean, if you set the expectation that you're only going to be with, if you're a Christian and you're only going to get with a Christian, why are you even with this person? Why? Because he met the other criteria. He made, you know, XYZ dollars, or he looks like this, or he's from this background. Mm-hmm. All that matters, but there's got to be some non-negotiables. You know what I'm saying? There's got to be some things where it's got to be this. And that's important. And so I think that, you know, step one is really looking at, you know, what type of expectations are you really setting? That's very, very, very important. And then as we move over into phase two, it's understanding what type of man are you dealing with? You know, if at this point you have to think about, has he been hurt in the past, you know, and you can't get caught up. I always say to ladies, you know, if a man has been in a situation where he's been, you know, hurt in the past or whatever, you want to file that in the back of your brain, okay? But quite frankly, like, you're not there to fix him. That's for him to get over, for him to get through, right? Because if you're the right person for him, okay, you know, then everything will play out correctly. But a lot of times women try to come and say, oh, well, he's been hurt in the past, and then you try to come in and save the situation, and you're not there for that. That's for him to maybe lay on somebody's couch and figure that out. Okay, you can't exactly. You can't come into it trying to save him, and because you're nurturers, right? A lot of times you're coming in and you're trying to save the situation, and you can't do that, or you want to be very cautious of doing that, you know. And so you have to understand whether you're dealing with a boy or a man. We all have past. We've been hurt, or maybe we've been the person that's been doing the hurting. Whatever case may be, but you know, men understand their past and move forward. Boys allow, you know, the past to just be what it is, and then you're just utilizing that as a crutch to, you know, and still, I guess, extending it out. Right. So now here you are, a year or two later, into your relationship. Now you're all into him and you're all loving him. And he's like, well, you know, I really care about you, but, you know, I've been hurt in the past. Hold on. Okay. I understand you've been hurt in the past. Let me give the ladies something in this area really quickly. Right. If you get with somebody and they've been hurt in the past, you file it in the back of your brain, and you have to understand that that's really none of your business. It's not. Because if you're functioning in the capacity that you're supposed to, and just being you, right, then it kind of plays out from there. But if he's still sitting there talking about how he's been hurt from the past, okay, what are you doing to move past that? Is there some counseling going on here? Is there some mentoring going on here? You know, it's January, and I think we kind of talked about this last week as well, and all these things kind of tie together. But, you know, what are you doing to move past that? Because if you guys have been together for a while and you've been operating in the best manner that you can, and this guy is still talking about that he's hurt from the past, you need to put a date on that. How much longer are you going to let him keep talking about that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to think about that.
That goes back to the what you said. We need to look at our expectations. A lot of women and even men have expectations, but once they get into something with someone – and they see, oh, they've been hurt, or, oh, they're seeing certain expectations drop off, and then this expectation drop off, and then they pretty much settle for what they see and what they have versus trying to move forward. And, you know, if they shouldn't be with this person, there's signs. There's always signs that we should or should not be with somebody. We just overlook them, and you stay with them because, you know, I'm lonely right now, or he's really good company. He makes me laugh. Well, that's not everything. So I think everyone has expectations. They just don't, after a while, they get so caught up that they just, they fall off.
Yeah. And so that's just that. So that's in phase two. You want to really identify whether you're dealing with a boy or a man. And if you're dealing with a boy, a lot of times at that point, some of us need to step away. But instead, what do? We try to go in and put our ladies, try to put your cape, try to come, right?
Yeah.
And that's where you can get caught up. And then you're wondering when it's 5 years later, right? And y'all still ain't married, right? But you've given up all of the goods and acting like you married, right? About that, right?
That's
a failure. Want to be very cautious of that. I mean, you have to understand that there's two things that you're never going to get any more of: time and land. All the time this world is here, there's not going to be any extra time added on, right? All the land is here. It's not going to be any more, right? So your time is valuable. And when you're engaging with somebody, you have to understand how valuable your time is. And I think we reduce that because we have with anybody in a while, or maybe we finally think that we've met somebody that is meeting some of the or the values that we have, but we're missing something. You know, there's got to be probably like a higher percentage sometimes based on some things. So you want to identify whether you're with a boy or a man. And then
phase three. This is the critical one. Okay? Principle three that we were talking about, right? If you're going to choose to want to continue forward with them, I'm going to give the ladies a secret. Okay? I hope they're paying attention. Okay? You ready? All right? Find out what his goals are and what he likes to do in his spare time and figure out how to femininity in a finesse manner, find out how to insert yourself into his world. And the men were specifically talking about that because, you know, sometimes you find out, you know, what he wants to do, and all of a sudden you're starting to show up here. I remember Delonte had something so funny that he said. He was just, you know, okay, so she wants to, you know, proceed forward and get with me, and all of a sudden, you know, she shows up at my house with turkey and macaroni and cheese and green beans and that. He's like, wait, where do you come from? You know? So if you find out what his goals are and you just somehow figure out a way to insert yourself into that and enhance that, because here comes the helpmate portion, right? We're looking for a helpmate. We can figure out, we're on the seven, right? Now, with your qualities, you can take us to a 10, right? But you can't, like, try to, because you see somebody that's a great candidate, stop trying to fast forward that so quickly. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Be easy. Stay straight. Calm down for a second. I know I'm a good catch. Calm down. Okay? You're going to start chasing me, and guess what? Now the roles are reversed. Like, okay, here goes another one. Right? And that's not going to work. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes perfect sense.
Uh-huh. Because we say that all the time. You know, when I used to date people, guys would say, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm not looking for a relationship. I just, you know, want, you know, to find somebody to talk to, go out with, just have friends or whatnot. And then, bam, like Farrah says, 0 to 100. So it's like, well, dang. Like you say, calm down. It's like, what happened? You know, we were just chilling. We were going to the movies. We were, you know, just hanging out. What happened? Why you want to give me a ring? Why are you trying to marry me? Why are you talking about what kind of kid, how many kids I want? It's only been a week. So I see that on the men's side, too. I know men deal with women like that all the time, but I've definitely seen it on the side of out there dating myself. Calm down.
I mean, that's why I pretty much stopped. I told you that, Elam, because I just kept getting the ones that went to straight to 100. And it's like, you know what? Are you listening to what I'm telling you? They weren't listening.
No.
I just left it alone. And, you know, I feel like I have enough on my plate right now.
Yep. And so in that specific phase, right, you know, again, that's a telltale sign right there of you being able to insert yourself into his world, right? And then this is the thing. Like, at this point, your discernment is now beginning to let you know whether this is somebody that your solutions, okay, like we said in the beginning, right, whether you're oil or water, or whether you're, you know, whether something that exists there that allows you guys to come to the table, right, and collaborate, and you help him and he help you type situation, right? But here's the thing. The problem that happens here is that you now see that this person is not somebody that is going to that's going to be good for you, and what do? You keep moving forward because maybe he makes this amount of money, maybe because he looks like this or whatever. And what's key in this particular phase is that, you know, don't try to change phase three. You've now been shown that this person is not the best person for you, right? And so I think how to make a decision to roll with it or leave, right? And I think Trey said, you know, at this point, don't try to stick a square peg in a round hole. Like, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit and get out of it. Right? That's what I think. That's seriously. Get out of it. What are you doing? All right? So we got to be mindful of stuff like that. You know, get out of it. If it's not going to fit, get out of it. Stop playing. Stop playing. So, yeah.
We have one person that has replied in Twitter. That was earlier today. Joy Sharma. She said she is enjoying your book. She is on chapter 5 right now. But she has a question for you. She has been dating the same man for 8 months, and he has two children and has not introduced her. When is a good time to meet his kids? So I'm assuming that her question is, I guess it's been 8 months. So should he be introducing her by now, even? I mean, we would need more, like, on their,
probably,
you know, the relationship.
But if I look at it on the surface, and you guys have been dating for 8 months, what kind of dating are we doing, right? You know, do we go out once? Because dating, there's so many different pieces to dating, right? So let's just, right? If you guys are dating, maybe he's a traveler, maybe he's always going to go, maybe y'all see each other maybe once or twice a month, right? You know, I mean, 8 months is a blink of an eye in that capacity, right? So I don't know how deep conversations have gone. So at that point, I'm like, you know, hey, are you guys in a committed relationship? To being considered committed? Because if it's not, that would be the question I would ask. Is if it's not a committed relationship, I wouldn't have introduced you either. Why?
Exactly.
You ain't nobody.
Yeah.
You're nobody.
No, I feel the same way. Because I'm very, especially with the kids, I think that's very, you know, that has to be something, it has to be serious. Like you say, Elon, that has to be going towards marriage or something before I bring somebody in the lives of my children.
Yeah.
And that's just,
yeah.
You know, that's what I've always said. So maybe he's not that serious about her. I wish she would. I told her, I sent her the number. Maybe she'll call in. You have one from Brianna McKenzie. And she says that on the part where she read, oh my God, you know, these people, okay. But let me not talk about them bad on here.
Do people know how to ask questions?
I'm trying to decipher what she's saying, because she typed where, you know, it's in letters. Remember what I sent you, Nikki, earlier, and had you decipher? Okay, we're going to skip her right now, because I don't know. Huh? It's in my Twitter. Yeah.
Okay, I'll look.
No, it's in my direct messages, though, Nikki.
Oh, yours, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, let me go on to another one. That one, I just... I'm sorry, people. Type English, okay? The all that shortcut stuff that just throws me off. I can't figure it out. Zach Taylor said that you are spitting genius.
Huh?
Zach Taylor said to tell you that you are spitting genius.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Zach. I try. You know, it's interesting that he said that, because you'd be amazed at the amount of men that do call me and say, oh my gosh, I've been trying to say this to, you know, XYZ forever, and then the way you said it, maybe they got it, you know, and that's not an ego for me. That's a blessing, because at the end of the day, and I household, I'll say something. And then somebody else says, and they're like, oh my gosh. And I'm sitting there like, wait a minute, I said that a long time ago. I mean, the goal is for the person to understand it. And that's why reading is important. But, you know,
exactly. Like we were talking about earlier, and especially reading to comprehend, people.
Yeah.
Please read to comprehend, because we had one who she wants us to talk about chapter 2, and I thought she was going to call in. But she said she had a lot to say about it. And Elam and I get the impression that she kind of felt some kind of way about chapter 2.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, once again, have an open mind when you read this book. also listen to Elam about who his target audience is, and then go from there. Don't go
maybe
into the book with
a,
you know, attitude and unreasonable ideals.
Right. Because like I said, last week when we read chapter, what chapter did we read, 13 or 14 last week?
14.
When I started reading it, I felt some type of way about it. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Let me read this again, because this is, it wasn't offensive. It just, I guess I was just blown away by, there really are people that need this book. You know, that's what I had to think about. And I was like, you know what? I know people like this. I know people who really need this book, that really need to just slow down and, you know, take a step back, and all of this running around and here and there.
A good friend of mine, Jordan Gulich, said this best. She said, you know, if a woman can read this and not be offended and be able to sit there and grasp the information that's in this book, she was just like, you know, they'll be able to go somewhere. But if you just want to sit there and be offended and, you know, pick it apart, okay, well, yeah, good luck,
Yeah, because, yeah, that's what I said. I was like, wait a minute, that's not, I don't do that. And let me read this again. And then, you know, as you begin the book, it says, ladies, think of this as 24 big brothers, like, giving you advice. And so that I had to say, okay, wait a minute. He said, these are 24 big brothers that I have that are giving me advice. Let me read this again. And it helped.
I
put it back into perspective for me.
I just felt like it was so good about, you know, self-development and stuff. You know, chapter two, I don't know if you've seen that, Nikki, but it's about Miss Independent. Is that what it is, Elam? Yes.
Yeah, Miss
So, you know, the way she was coming across in the Twitter, I think she just really felt some kind of way about it, so...
Mm-hmm.
If she calls in, that's fine. But, you know, please don't call in with a lot of ignorance. Have something to.
No, I mean, hey, they can call in with it. They just won't get answers. I mean, try me. I'm not scared. I'm kind of like, what's his name?
I'm not scared either, but I don't feel like being irritated. You know, we're having such a great conversation. We are enjoying the book. So, but Elam says bring it. So bring it if you want to.
Yeah, now you cannot get answered. I want you to understand that. You can say something and I will not reply to you, because here's the thing. At the end of the day, I'm not here for combativeness, right? We're here, the name of the book is Understanding a Man. It doesn't say Understand a Man, because you won't read this and completely understand us, right?
Right.
Just like this book that will allow us to completely understand you. That's why it's a manual, right? So because the different chapters that are applicable at some point in your life. It's impossible, and I'm not saying this out of arrogance. I'm saying this to be, it's impossible to read this manual and not walk away with multiple nuggets, because these are men speaking, and we don't speak. We don't. And so the goal of this was to speak and to get the information out so that you can have a better understanding of what we think. So like you just said, think about yourself walking into a room, and standing around you are 24 big brothers that are giving you the real.
Yeah.
You know, maybe your father was or wasn't in your life. Whether he was or wasn't in your life, you're still going to walk away with some information. Right?
There you go.
That's what you want. I mean, when you listen to a financial advisor stand in front of you and give you some information, you might not want to save, you know, 10% of your income. Right? That doesn't mean that you're not supposed to do it. Right? You might not want to tie 10% of your money, right? That doesn't mean you're not supposed to do it, right? So there's some things in here you might hear that you might not want to do, but guess what? It's no different whether it matters of the heart, whether it's finances. You don't, I mean, do you really think that bodybuilders want to, like, not eat right before a competition? But they're trying to win. If you are trying to win in a relationship, we're going to give you the tools. That's why it's called empower. That's why it says understanding a man, empowering women with the tools for lasting relationship. We're giving you some tools that are going to work. Does that mean that something else isn't going to work? No. right? Can you drive a nail into a board with a hammer? You can also drive it in with a rock if you want to. I mean, that's great. I'm giving you a hammer, right? If you want to use the back of your shoe, that's fine, right? I mean, whatever you want to do, right? I mean, one of the ladies today that was on the radio station, she said that she's married, right, and she is a minister, Patrice. A great lady, right? She has a book called Side Chick. Actually, Mara, you should definitely bring her on the show. It's a different angle from a side chick perspective of how a woman is their level of loyalty working alongside with a man, right? So it's not about like no side chick like on some old sexual stuff. It's really, it was a great book, mm-hmm. right? And you know, she was speaking today, and she was saying that, you know, her and her husband met on Facebook. He went in her DM, and now they're married. And I said, you know what? Now there's some idiots out there that now are going to start DMing people. That doesn't works for them. That doesn't mean it's going to work for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's so you know, when we're talking about this manual, this is a more holistic view. This is not you know, a one off, right? People see one person
right.
that got to. With Match.com, and now y'all want to be on Match.com spending money. Like, good luck with that. You know?
Right.
I mean, meanwhile, you don't even know your love language. Okay, good luck to Match.com, right? Go ahead.
Exactly. And, you know, I have to address that, too, because somebody brought that up in my inbox last week that I was bashing online dating. I am not bashing online dating. Online dating, I don't believe, works. I think people have the wrong intentions, but if it happened to work for you, kudos to you. I'm not mm-hmm. saying don't go out there, don't leave yourself open, don't get on the apps, but I'm saying from my personal perspective, I just don't see how it works because too many people get on there and they post the wrong stuff. They're not being honest, and mm-hmm. it's just, you know, you swiping left and right and all this other stuff. I just don't see how that's going to equate to a long-lasting relationship. That's just my opinion, though. I'm not saying don't go out there and do the online dating. Try it if you want to, by all means.
Yeah, it works for some people, but, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean you have to try it in order to say you don't like it.
It doesn't
right.
work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if it worked for you and you met somebody, great.
Yeah.
You know, Elam, as I read, I always flip it around because I always see the other side, like me being a female dating. I've been through this situation that they're talking about. You know, like
I told you, Elam, that she's like that.
Yeah,
I'm okay.
Believe me, I mean I can see both sides, but I that's a good thing. I can see both sides. I can definitely see how a man can be feeling like this because I know people that do this, and I've been in situations that. Let me just say this now. Let me caution you, ladies. This does not. I think this is after phase three, after Delonte talks. You said, let me caution you, ladies. This does not mean that you become aggressive on inserting yourself into his life. Don't call him every day.
I
like,
bring that up too, Nikki. Yeah.
What are you doing? Can I come by today, tomorrow, this weekend? Be more subtle. Be available, but not desperate. And that's the biggest thing that
many
women, they're so desperate to have any type of attention, but they don't realize that that's like their biggest turn off for a man. I mean, that's a big turn off for us. Well, for me as a female, I don't want somebody doing this to me. So I have to just step back and like, I think about it in my shoes. Okay, let me step into these people's shoes. Do I want something like this happening to me? No, I don't. Well, I don't want nobody calling me every day harassing me about coming over. Let me see what you're doing, how you doing, calling me. I'm at work. I'm here. I'm there. You know, don't call doing that. So yeah, that's really aggravating. So as a man, I would definitely see how this would just drive him up the wall. And I know he's probably with his boy saying, look, showing her the phone. Look, she calling again, you know?
Yeah.
She's texting me again.
She's on bugaboos, you know?
She's at my door. Yeah. I can definitely I understand that because we know people that do this, so.
We do. We really do. You know, and we've tried to talk to these individual people to stop that stuff, that, like, if you say good morning and or text him good morning and then he doesn't reply in a certain amount of time, then you know, you have to kind of go off and send him this long paragraph. You know what? I know if somebody did that to me, I'm going to block you, okay? Because there's no telling what I'm doing right then. And I can't just immediately respond. And I feel like if somebody is just immediately responding to your text all the time, they probably don't have a job, and you probably want to leave them alone. That's just me.
I think a part of that is some of it is a setup for failure, because, first of all, you have the general, you know, you have narcissism, you have, you know, egos, you have, oh, I've always been able to get, you know, I've never had rejection, right? So now you get with somebody and they're like, you know, they feel like they're just as important as you, right? So now here comes in more ego, right? And so, and just for you guys to know, as much as I love you, I got a hard stop at 10 o'clock because I got to holler I so hated to say that, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay.
You know, you have the like button. Okay, watch this. The like button is one of the most devastating things to our lives right now, because it's instant gratification, right? So we already have a microwave society, right? And so we've got to be right now, right? When you're at work, it's everything is right now. Your kids, you know, right. I mean, think about it. Back in the day, if you had a song, I remember, you know, looking for Can You Stand the Rain, wanting to listen to it on the radio, right? What did you have to do? You had to sit by the radio with the tape and the, I'm lying, with the button ready. And the moment the song, you ran, oh, God forbid you were in the kitchen and the song came on, you had to run into the room, hit the record button, and try to make sure that you captured the song. Now, any song that comes out, I can go YouTube it immediately and listen to it. I don't even have to buy the album, right? So everything is right now. And so to your point where you text somebody good morning and they don't respond, well, wait a minute. How come you didn't respond? You know, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? I'm busy. Okay? How about maybe I was in my prayer closet.
Okay?
Maybe, how about that? Maybe I was coaching somebody.
Especially when you're just getting to know someone. I don't think you can place those demands on someone you're just now getting to know. And that's what Nikki and I keep coming across with the people that we know, that we say that do this. They never learn, Elam. I mean, you can tell them until the cows come home, but it's like they keep on doing the same thing with every different guy, and he's not responding fast enough, and, you know, I'm going to push my way in here and stuff. And then they get their feelings hurt, and then it's like on to the next. And then you wonder why you're, you know, you're feeling depressed, you're crying to yourself and all that stuff, because, you know, you're being foolish about it. Honestly.
I think that the femininity has been lost amongst women, and because femininity allows us to chase you, right? But society is flipping that thing on women, and they're not paying attention to it. It puts you in a situation where you're chasing us, and that's just, I'm sorry, that's not going to work, you know?
Right.
And so if you man, and femininity is the most, you will hear me say this 1,000 times, it is the most powerful energy. I mean, wars were started because of a woman. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows about always Trojan horse, right? That was over a woman. Okay?
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of people died because, like she didn't want the king, she wanted the other dude. Like, that was over a woman. You know, men want power and money and all that stuff a lot of times because, you know, it's got a lot to do with being able to have, you know, the type of woman that you want, right? That shows how powerful you are. Instead of utilizing that energy to, you know, positively to guide a relationship correctly, you want to turn into the boss chick that, you know, okay, and, you know, and be all masculine. Okay, good luck with that. Like, all right, I'm not going to work. It's not going to work. I'd be trying to tell him, like, I'm trying to tell him it's not going to work. I'd just be sitting and watching, like,
oh, Ela.
You're not reading nobody's book, right? But at work, you'll read a book, right? At work, you'll do something that it takes to move to the next level from a promotion perspective, right? Well, you'll go through your curriculum and get the bachelor's and the master's and the doctor and the second doctorate and all this and that. But then when it comes to matters of the heart, you won't sit down and pay attention. You feel like you got it because you keep, and you think because somebody said you had some good sex, you think like you're not.
Yeah.
You're not. And you have to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I was thinking about when I was listening. Nikki, remember I told you I was listening to that podcast, Why Won't You Date Me, on Spotify?
Right.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. If Elam heard this, he would eat her alive. I mean, she was telling us in the intro why they won't date her. You know, she's on Tinder, and her first picture was a picture of a dildo, and she said she likes to give blowjobs, and then now I'm going to have on my show the guys that I've had a sexual encounter with once, but it didn't go anywhere, and then ask them, why won't you date me? I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, we should have her on the show just so Elam can, you know, school her.
I know, because you talk about combative. Can you imagine the calls from that?
That's true.
I mean, I don't know if I can hold my tongue during that one. I got a lot to say about that.
I know.
Yeah.
That's why I looked it up. I was like, what is this? And I was listening to it. I was like, oh, my gosh. Well, you've already told us why they won't date you. But that's another thing. You know, I think deep down there are some women like that that know why these men aren't in it, why they're not in a sustained relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So don't try to play the victim when you're out here, you know, doing what you're not supposed to do. And we'll just leave it at that.
They're not walking in their purpose, Mara.
They're not walking in their purpose. There you go.
Yeah, that's right there. If you are purpose driven, he's going to come. Okay, I just want to tell all these. Here is a public service announcement. I'm actually live right now on my Instagram. Right, I have you guys on my Instagram live. So I'm making a public service announcement. If you want a spouse, if you want a companion, if you want a life partner, and let's just say for the past 20, 30 years you've dated this one and that one and it hasn't worked, stop. Let's hit the reset button. Start walking in your purpose. If you don't know what that is, go fast. Okay? Get yourself a mentor. Right? Talk to God, right? And figure out what is the reason why you are on this planet. Because it's not to have children. It's not to take care of your children. It is not to even take care of a man. Your purpose is to be married. You have a talent that this world needs. It was put inside of you by our God. When you start walking in that purpose, then you will be sent a companion along the way, at the end of the way, somewhere along the way, because you'll be able to recognize that person. Because at that point, you have done the due diligence to understand yourself. Knowledge of self is first. Until you do that, the right person does not come along. And, yes, we have people who are married right now, 40 and 50 years, and it's not a happy marriage. They just stayed together.
Yeah.
Nobody is following their purpose.
Uh-huh.
We have people who are unhappily married. Please understand that. Because that's why for my married people, don't act like that you're better than the unmarried people. Don't act like it. Because some of y'all made a seasonal decision. We just haven't figured it out yet. But we will when your last name changes back to your maiden name. Okay? So
they figured it out.
No, I mean, yeah. So at the end of the day, walk in your purpose.
I'm gonna figure it out, but no.
Yep. So I just, that was my public service announcement. I, you know, my commercial has ended.
Eula, bringing the genius to you, as Zach said.
I mean, that, but you know, that's really basic. I haven't really said anything special. I don't think I said one thing special since we've been talking. It's all basic. We just choose to want to pay attention to the dogma and the noise. That's what we want to do instead of looking at what's in front of us. You know, that's why that chapter, you know, chapter, we didn't tell you to do that, right?
Right.
Basically, the message about we want a woman that's natural, and we can talk about that chapter another day. But because, you know, you want to play dress up all day, every day, and then so you walk up to a man fake, but then you mad because he is not showing you who he is. Well, you're not even showing us who you are. What's wrong with being natural? What's wrong with that? Yeah, I understand, you know, you want to dress up for an event and stuff like that. But when that's a part of, I mean, the words that were used in the manual, costume, fraud, fake. And women will be the first person to be like, that's such a, oh, I don't like her because she's fake. Really? Like, can we peel your whole face off first and figure out who you are?
We should talk about that Saturday for sure. I think that one would be a good one.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the most controversial.
We have about 3 minutes left.
3 minutes left. So, Elam, we have to thank you because we know you got a hectic traveling schedule and taking time out of your day. We already did a radio show early this morning because I was on Instagram Live at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm on the Michael and Joy show on the 1st and 3rd Fridays of every month. So we've been doing it since probably January, but we took a month off, so we're back. So, I mean, the bottom line is I was given a talent for what's being executed now in front of you. I'm not somebody extra special. I'm not, you know, whatever. Bottom line is my goal is to show the truth from a relationship perspective and try to help you, because when stuck down in the streets, right, quick what matter, right? And when somebody does something, whatever, you know, we're all mad, right? But at the end of the day, like, if we don't on the family, if we don't get these families, the statistics, right, that it, when you have mom and dad in the home, it brings out children with higher self-esteem. It brings out smarter children. It brings out, it reduces, you know, people going to jail. It reduces a lot of negative things that are happening out there. Well, in order for that to happen, we have to figure out how to be in a relationship. And a lot of things that that baby boomers did a great job, but at the same time, people have a relationship. And that's what I'm saying. I think it's a matter.